Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It is good to be with you this week. Today, before our teaching from 2 Corinthians, I'd like to share a testimony from a listener in Nigeria. Notice how he was affected by reading the Bible. I send my gratitude to you all over there. I am inspired. I took time to read it carefully from the first day. What I have learned and read has molded my life in Christ and my church. I appreciate your Bible. The Lord bless you. Our goal is to use media to make disciples. We hope this lesson from 2 Corinthians will do exactly that. Help you become like Jesus. Here is J. Mark to share today's lesson from 2 Corinthians.
You and I can't fully imagine what it meant for Jesus to humble himself and take on human form. He exchanged his heavenly perfection for the form of a human being and took on the characteristics of an obedient servant. And he did it willingly. He was motivated by his love for you and for me. According to Philippians 2:5, we are to adopt this mindset in our relationships with each other. You see, we are all infected with the sin of pride. God hates it, he resists it, and he will judge it, because pride is an attempt to place ourselves on the throne instead of God. And pride often leads to boasting. Boasting is expressing excessive pride in ourselves or praising ourselves extravagantly in our speech. James cautions us not to boast because our human existence is so short-lived that it's compared to steam or water vapor. So we might ask the question, is all boasting wrong? Stay with me, because we'll answer that question from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 7 to 18. Listen carefully as I read these words from the Apostle Paul. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. Let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves, as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Paul was a godly man with a humble spirit. But in our text, the word boast is used 13 times. It seems he felt compelled to defend his apostolic authority in the face of his critics. He does so with the greatest reluctance. Look with me now at three standards of judging to answer the question, what do you boast in? The first standard of judging is by appearance. Most of us have judged a person or a situation solely on appearance. To my shame, I've done it way too often. The opening phrase of verse 7 can be taken two ways. Are you looking only at appearances? Or you are looking only at appearances. a question, or a statement. But the unstated implication is that they should look deeper beneath the surface. Now, Paul didn't say, if you were genuine followers of Christ, you wouldn't be speaking this way about me. Remember, back in verse 1, Paul implores his readers with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. His response is an example for us when we deal with difficult situations. The Judaizers at Corinth had persuaded themselves that they belonged to Christ by their appearance. If they had paid closer attention to their Hebrew scriptures, they would have recalled 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, where God told Samuel this, "Do not look at his appearance or physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So their criticism of Paul was that his physical appearance was weak and his rhetoric amounted to nothing. Well, he had already admitted that when he wrote his first letter. And yet that criticism must have stung. No one likes to have their physical appearance or their intellect denigrated publicly. Paul didn't use his apostolic authority as a club to beat people into submission. Look at verse 8. "Even if I should boast about belonging to Christ and the authority he has given me, I will do it for your edification, not for your destruction. I will never be ashamed of my boast in Christ." So Paul is reassuring his critics that his acts were precisely the same as the recommendations and commands in his letters as when he was with them. When someone judges by appearances, the result is often character assassination. And Paul wasn't going there. But he also wants to avoid the trap that they set for him. Look at verse 12. There is both wordplay and sarcasm in this verse. First of all, Paul says, "We dare not classify ourselves." The idea here is to judge among, or to judge one as worthy to be numbered among the group. He continues, "We dare not compare ourselves with those who commend themselves." The second phrase means to combine or decide or to pair and compare. Paul sarcastically implies that the Judaizers had set themselves up as the standard of orthodoxy and then boasted of the same. They measured themselves not by God's standard but by themselves. People who function this way are oblivious to the picture that their lives present to those who are watching them. You and I have that same tendency. We think our beliefs and our practices are the standard by which everybody should be measured. But is that really true? As Paul writes, if we refuse to look outside of our group and learn from other genuine believers, we too will lack understanding. If you want to boast about something, don't boast about your appearance, because God has a higher standard of judgment than that. The next standard of judging is by achievement. Most of us have used this standard. We hesitate to boast, but then we ensure people notice our accomplishments. In business and sports, in academia and ministry, achievements often become the basis for boasting. In fact, many entities have associations that prioritize achievements and excellence. They give public recognition and acclaim as part of their reward. Now, I am certainly not opposed to excellence and achievement in our service to the Lord, but I do oppose using pride as a motivation. We as humans are very susceptible to pride, and if we indulge in it, it will destroy us. As believers, we are called to excel and achieve because we serve Christ. So Paul says, we will not boast about the things we have no experience in. We will confine ourselves to the sphere of influence God has apportioned to us, which reaches even to you, he said. Now that same thing can't be said for the Judaizers. They had invaded Paul's sphere of service. They attempted to successfully occupy the territory he had won for the Lord and the church. In these verses, Paul speaks of territory as marked with a measuring rod, and the imagery comes from surveying a district and assigning different parcels of ground. So Paul says God had allotted to him a specific region, and he was content to function in that region. Paul wanted to see the gospel go everywhere, but he also understood the importance of God's boundaries. There's one achievement that Paul greatly longed to see become a reality in this text. He wanted the Corinthian believers to reach such a level of maturity in Christ that it would demand less of his time and attention. He wanted them to grow spiritually to the point where they could address and solve their internal issues with the power of the Holy Spirit. That would give him greater freedom to preach in areas where the gospel hadn't yet gone. They would have been able, then, legitimately to boast about what the Lord was doing among them. You know, as a minister of the gospel, that's an achievement I long to see as well. The final standard, then, of judging is by assignment. Paul wanted to preach the gospel in regions beyond Corinth, but he wouldn't intrude into someone else's ministry or another man's line of things. That's the same word as translated previously, rule. He would, as we say, stay in his lane. Paul wouldn't boast about the work already done on another person's territory. And then in verse 17, Paul escapes the oppressive, negative subject of the earlier verses, and he moves into the freeing, positive subject of standing, ultimately, in God's presence. He quotes Jeremiah chapter 9, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me." Why is that so important? Well, look at the final verse. "For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends." Self-promotion and self-approval are meaningless in the long run. Faithful servants of God present the facts as they are, and then they allow God to sort out the details and the rewards. If you're a Christ follower, you have an assignment from the Lord. While we proclaim the same message, you and me, your assignment isn't the same as mine, nor is mine the same as yours. But both of them are equally important. When you and I stand before our King, outward appearances won't mean anything. No matter how we try to put ourselves in a good light and cultivate a culturally acceptable appearance, it won't matter. And the same is true for our fleshly achievements. We can have trophies, accolades, honors from our peers, and praise from men, but those things are all going to pass away. What I want, and I hope you do too, is the approval and commendation of my King. His approval is worth more than anything the world can offer you and me now. Finally, like the Apostle Paul, I want to understand my assignment and do it in the power of the Holy Spirit to the best of my ability. So I end with the same question I asked at the beginning. What do you boast in?
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing this teaching with us from 2 Corinthians 10. If you have any questions about today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear it again, please feel free to contact us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can contact us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. We would love to hear from you, so please contact us however it is easiest for you. It was good to be with you today. Thank you for being there. We hope you can join us again next time. We leave you with a great verse from Jeremiah where God says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me." This, my friend, is the best answer to the question from today's lesson.